Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
I just have such an expectancy for what God is doing and wants to do. Do you? The last couple of days, I've just been kind of singing. Sometimes, you ever get a little song stuck in your head? I've gotten that little song. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You learned a different version than me. All right? Like, I see you move. Sing it out with me. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. I don't know what's happening right now. I might just keep singing. You made a way where there was no way. You made a way where there was no way. How many know that to be true? And I see you do it again, and again, and again. Okay, that's just free. Give that to you. First service didn't get that. So I was praying for our time together today. I felt like I just got this little video in my mind that the Lord gave me. I don't know what I'd even call it, but it just, these pictures came to me. And we were all walking into this very large, humongous ballroom, banquet room. And there was this giant table that just was straight down the middle of it. Nothing else in the room. There were no chairs except around the table. And it was beautiful. It was prepared just so beautifully. And there was all this amazing food at the table. So getting you hungry for lunch? And I was in there kind of by myself. And as I looked up, I saw through the entrances, there were people that just kind of started trickling into the room. And as they came into the room, they looked at this table and everybody was staring at this table like, wow, look at this table that's been prepared. You know how often women will do tables really beautifully and then they adore each other's tables? I don't know. It was kind of like that. Honestly, what I saw was women first coming in and just the table, and then all of a sudden the room just got more full and more full, and people were just crowded in there, and I saw this picture of actually these few people that just sat down at the table, and they just started jumping in on eating the food. And they were so joyful, and everybody else was like, oh my gosh, I'm pulling up a chair, and I'm going to start eating. And all of a sudden, everybody started digging in and eating. This all happened in my mind as I was praying. And then before long, everyone was feasting together. And what I felt like what I was seeing was that's the season that we're in. That we are in a season that the time of just being in the room and looking at the table is over, that it's time for everyone to come and partake of what he's prepared. Everyone gets a seat at the table and everyone gets to eat of the amazing things that he has prepared for us. And so I just believe that he has truly prepared a table for us, and nobody is gonna stand on the, there's no observers allowed. We all get to get in. God's doing something. We all get to get in. We all get to get in. Yeah. Something special has just been happening over the last couple of weeks. I've been just hearing stories after story of how God is just changing lives and awakening people these past two Wednesdays. And this past Sunday, we have just heard multiple stories of people walking into this room and surrendering their lives to Jesus, giving their lives to Jesus. Come on. Yeah. just God getting a hold of people, conviction on their lives. One person told me that they came from the Catholic Church somewhere around and just came right in here and just gave his life to Jesus. Others just rededicating their lives to the Lord, just as God is moving among us. Stories of some healing and freedom, people that have been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a really long time. I heard a couple stories last week, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and all of that. Yeah, we can give the Lord a shout for that as well. What I've been hearing is that lies are being broken off. That chains are being broken off, that oppression is being broken off. Christy and I prayed for multiple people where literally they came their countenance was heavy and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And by the time they left, we saw literally a transformation in their countenance. How many know when Jesus touches your life in a radical way, it changes your countenance, changes everything about you? Just seen gifts released. And I want to tell you what he does for one, he'll do for you. He really will. All of what I just shared today is available for every single person here. If you're here and you need freedom, it's here. Because he's here. If you're here and you've been tormented, I want to tell you, he's here to set you free from torment. He's changing lives. He's healing. He's restoring. And I'm watching it happen before my eyes. And it's not just when we gather in this building. It's happening out there. Did you know that if we're doing this right, it happens out there? If we're doing this right, when we encounter him together in here, when we encounter him in our times with him alone, what he does in us, he then does through us wherever we go. We talked last week about the gifts of the Spirit, and I want to talk this morning for a little bit about the power of the Spirit and how we're called to a lifestyle of the miraculous. And turn to somebody and say, God's got something good for you today. Come on, turn to the other person. Tell them, God's got something good for you. Tell the person behind you. Come on, just tell them all over. God's got something good for you. Because you know what? He loves to give good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He loves to give good gifts. I believe even today, he's giving gifts of the Spirit out, gifts of healing. As I was praying earlier, and I said this in the first service, I felt like the Lord wanted to heal arthritis today. And I saw a hand that had arthritis. I saw like a knee that had arthritis. If you have arthritis today and you don't mind lifting your hand and you want prayer, would you lift your hand right now? We want to pray. Yeah. Yeah. Could we just agree right now, church, in the name of Jesus, we just ask right now that arthritis would be gone from bodies in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we command arthritis to go in every joint, in knees, in hands, wherever it is. Lord, we just believe today is a day that you want to make bodies whole and pain be gone. And we agree on this in Jesus' name. Let it be. Let it be. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to pour I think maybe just some foundation that will help support us in walking into a greater measure, the greater invitation to a lifestyle of the miraculous for us. I know we have so many people that have recently been coming to Hope from all over the place. And I want to put a little foundation in us today to help us as we journey ahead. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in several passages of Scripture today. That'll be on the screen, of course. But the first one is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And it's one verse, and I just want to read it over us today. Acts 10:38 says this: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus showed us what a life looked like that was totally submitted and totally surrendered to the Father. He showed us what a life looks like that's anointed by the Holy Spirit. How many want your life to be anointed by the Holy Spirit? He showed us what a life looks like that's anointed with the Spirit and with power. He showed us what it looked like for God to be on full display for the world to see through someone. And I want to remind us today, as we're followers of Jesus Christ, that the vision as followers of Jesus is still Jesus. The vision is Jesus. It's still him. It's all of him. We don't get to just pick and choose parts of Jesus. When we receive him, when we lay our lives down, we take all of him. All that he is and all that he said, now we get to enter into. How many are thankful for that this morning? We're saying yes to all of him, and we're saying we want to obey you in everything. We don't just choose a particular area of what he's taught or what he's done and say, oh, that's my Jesus. No, we get the whole thing. We take the whole thing. And in doing so, we get to say, what you did, we now get to do. God resting upon Jesus with Holy Spirit anointing, translated into good things happening everywhere he went. He went about doing good. The Hebrew word anoint means to rub, to pour on, and I love this word, saturate. Jesus displayed a life that was saturated in the Holy Spirit. His life displayed what it looked like for the kingdom to come and to destroy what was destroying people. Sickness, disease, torment, shame, sin of every kind, the distance. He came to destroy the demonic forces of darkness of every single kind. And the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied this about Jesus in Isaiah 61, some 700 years before Jesus, the Messiah, came. And in verse 1, it says this about him. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord. Now, right after Jesus was baptized, it says that he came up out of the water, the heavens parted, the Spirit descended upon him, it says, like a dove, and rested upon him. It says it actually remained upon him. He goes from that moment into the wilderness, and it says he was full of the Spirit. He's there for 40 days, the temptations that he endured, no food, he was fasting, and then it says he returned out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And then he begins his ministry. And soon after this, he walks into the synagogue, and he picks up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he unrolls that scroll, and he finds the specific place where it is written what we just read, and he reads it. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news, liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, to bring freedom to the oppressed and proclaim the favor of the Lord. And he rolls up the scroll, he gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down. We could say, Jesus dropped the mic, right? He drops the mic and he says this, with the eyes of everyone that are all fixed upon him, he says this. He says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. 700 years later, this scripture has been fulfilled. I am here. And the anointing of the Spirit on his life looked like healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Holy Spirit was upon him. So where he encountered someone that had blindness, he would restore the sight. When he'd encounter somebody whose legs didn't work, Now they work. Hemorrhaging issues, blood issues, just one touch, and there's wholeness released. Skin problems, no problem. Shriveled hand, here's a creative miracle. Did you know that God can do creative miracles? All of the miracles of Jesus were to restore people to the Father's original intent in making all things new. They were a part of demonstrating the kingdom that had come. I want to encourage us this morning, and maybe, are you with me? Okay, you tracking with me? Don't fall asleep, or I'll start singing again. I want to encourage you, and I believe today maybe even a mindset shift in that healing, the miraculous, and the gifts of the Spirit are not a side note to the gospel. That supernatural miracles and healing and restoration are not somehow separate from the gospel as its own thing. They aren't supposed to be for a few people who kind of like to go there. You know what I mean, those crazy people? Are you crazy? I see a few of you out there. Yeah, she even admitted it. They're a part of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. They're a part of the full gospel of the kingdom. Paul made it really clear when he said this in 1 Corinthians 4:20, that the kingdom is not in talk, but in power. And look at what Paul says here in Romans 15:18. He says, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed," and get this, "by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ." What he's saying here is he's saying it's by word, by deed, and by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other versions say, "I have fully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ." You see, the kingdom is certainly released through word, through preaching, but the complete and the full presentation of the gospel comes through supernatural demonstration. God dwells within us, and he releases his message to the world through our lives, through signs and wonders and miracles, through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the kingdom that we are invited to join him in releasing. I was talking this last week to some missionaries in Japan on a Zoom call, and I had never met them before. We had a beautiful hour and a half conversation that just inspired my heart. And they were saying some numbers that I think there's something like 140 million people in Japan. And out of 140 million, I think there's something only like 400,000 believers. Now, I know those numbers in China and all of that, but this surprised me. And as they were sharing what God has called them to do, they were sharing the difficulties in reaching people there. They were sharing the cultural challenges. They were sharing the obstacles that they were facing. And after I got off the phone, it was a late night call, and I went down to bed, and I just laid on my bed as I was just kind of praying before I went to sleep. And all of a sudden, I was just, my heart was stirred. I was concerned. I was praying for them. I'm like, "God, they need a demonstration of the power. Words are not going to be enough. Teaching is not going to be enough. There is going to have to be words of knowledge. There is going to have to be prophetic words released. It's going to have to be miracles that break into the hearts and in the lives of those people." So much of what I heard seemed absolutely impossible in the natural for them as I was praying for them. And all of a sudden, as I was praying for them, it hit me. It's actually no different for us. It's actually no different for us. The obstacles that we face, words
alone will not do it. It is going to be the anointing and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that releases the breakthrough and the transformation that we need so desperately. It is going to be that. And all through the Gospels, we see Jesus demonstrated what it looked like to make wrong things right through the power of the Spirit that rested on him. Remember, he said, I only do what my Father's doing. I only say what my Father is saying. Everything he did and said was to release what God was doing and what God was saying. The demonstration of healing, the demonstration of signs and wonders in the prophetic and words of knowledge revealed what God was doing. It revealed what God was doing. Jesus wasn't just revealing who God was through his teaching. He was revealing God through the demonstration of the gifts. He was revealing that God was near as he healed people. He was revealing that God was near as he set people free. He was revealing the heart of the Father through all of the miraculous. What we see demonstrated through his life is that he's giving us a clear view into what is possible when the kingdom comes through our lives. How did he do the miraculous? We just read it. He was anointed by the Spirit. God was with him. He was anointed by the Spirit. God was with him. You might think, well, that's great. Of course he did the miraculous. He's Jesus. Right? Like, you might be thinking, he's a member of the triune Godhead. Of course he did the miraculous. He's the Son of God. I'd actually like you to hold on a minute with that line of thinking, because I've heard that quite a bit before. Sometimes we blame Jesus for being Jesus, and it tries to give us an out of things that he's called us to be and do. Right? Jesus lived holy. Oh, he was Jesus. No, no. We miss it when we do that. Look at this. I think this is a really crucial theological aspect of the incarnation of Jesus. And if we don't understand it rightly, it's actually going to shut down what he's actually invited us to do. Are you following with me? Am I talking boring today? Okay, good, good, good. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7 says that although Jesus existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Jesus is fully God and he's fully man, but he has surrendered his rights to exercise his divine powers. He voluntarily surrendered his divine will to the Father. He maintained his self-imposed limitation of his humanity all the way to the cross. He could have called down angels when he was on the cross and had a power moment. He didn't. He maintained his self-imposed limitation. And in doing it this way, what he did was he showed us what was possible in all things. He gave us a vision of the life that God intended for us to live, and he showed us what a life that brings heaven to earth really look like and could look like. In Matthew chapter 12, a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him, of course, because that's what he did. His sight was restored, his speech was restored, and it says that the people were amazed. The Pharisees, not so much. They accused Jesus. In fact, they didn't like it. They accused Jesus of performing the miracle through some form of demonic power. But this is how Jesus responds. Get this, in verse 28 of Matthew 12. He says this, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." The kingdom of God has come upon you. What he's saying here is that the power that's enabling his supernatural ministry to even heal and to set demonically challenged people free was the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did this miracle, and I think it's legitimate, it's a legitimate extrapolation to conclude that what was true of this miracle is true of all of his miracles. That he surrendered his divine power, he surrendered his life in such a way that he was yielded to the Father through the Spirit upon him, and it was the Spirit resting on him, it was the anointing that empowered him. So you're sitting here today and saying, Josh, what's the point? I'm trying to get to it. I hope I'm helping. I hope I'm getting there. I think the point is, it's going to be the same for you and me. I think the point is it's going to be the same for you and me. It's going to be the saturation of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the anointing that rests upon us and in us as believers, not only to live holy, but to live a kingdom lifestyle of the miraculous. To see, to release breakthroughs and the supernatural that our world so desperately needs. In John 14, he says this, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Does that take your breath away a little? It should. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. I think we could just take that verse and just meditate on it for the next year. What is this? Show me what this means. Give me a revelation of this that goes beyond just words on a page. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. A little later in chapter 16, he says it's actually to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Helper, the Spirit, won't come. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I'll do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, what I did, now you go do and more. You should be smiling right now. It's a good smiling moment. What I did, you get to go do. The stuff I did, you go do in my name. Remember on Easter, we shared this passage out of John where he says, as the Father, he's resurrected from the dead, he appears to disciples. As the Father sent me, so I send you. He gives the great commission, right? Go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them, teach them to observe all that I've commanded. I want to tell you, the miraculous is very much a part of what he's commanded. It's very much a part of it. In his commission, there's commissions after, at the end of each of the Gospels in Mark 16, the commission there is he said, this is what's going to happen. In verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak in tongues. Supernatural protection will be theirs. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that this isn't just something that we get to just shout about and some guy that's sweaty with the microphone gets to declare. I'm glad that this is a reality and a promise from Jesus. That this is literally a promise from him. This doesn't light our appetite, I don't know what will. He didn't say these signs will follow pastors on a stage. He didn't say these signs will follow evangelists in stadiums. He didn't say these signs will follow, you know, people that, you know, do this or that, or these signs will follow a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. So these signs will accompany those who believe. And what I hear him saying, as he's always been saying, but I feel it's highlighted today to us as a church, that he's inviting every single believer to get off the bench and get in the game. every single one of us to get off the bench and get in the game. I feel like it was like Jesus was singing that song over us today. It's like he was saying, I'm inviting you to be a house of miracles. I'm inviting you to be a house of miracles. You know, it's not just here in the building. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? Where when you go out there, you house heaven in you because he lives in you and he's upon you. It's like he's inviting us. Hey, Colin, you're a house of miracles. David, you're a house of miracles. Jonathan, you're a house of miracles. That was all guys. I need some girls. Christy, Livia, right? Ashley, you're a house of miracles. And as they were singing that song Wednesday night, I'd never heard it before. I just felt the Holy Spirit all over it. In fact, I worshiped with it at home on Thursday, and I ended up on the floor just weeping for like 2 hours. That doesn't normally happen to me, but I had such a strong sense that God wants us to be this. That this house here, but certainly us as individuals, he's inviting us to be a house of miracles where demons literally tremble because we walk in a room. Where when you proclaim his name, that you walk full of faith, like the song says, where we live in the reality that he has the final say. Where we walk in resurrection power, right? Because his blood flows through our veins. Where we live in the reality that his kingdom will triumph over every grave. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. You are a house of miracles. I feel that over us today, that we're going to come alive, that today is a step towards us as a community, as a church, walking into this next place of coming alive to our calling and our destiny to release the gospel of the kingdom. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything, right? We sang it earlier. Every disappointment, we bring every defeat to the feet of Jesus. We bring every time you prayed and you stood in a place and you did not receive the answer that you believed for, we bring that to the feet of Jesus. We lay it at his feet. Every lack of breakthrough that we have encountered, we bring it and we lay it at his feet and we say, God, we want to see what you have said happen. We want to be what you said that we should be regardless of what we've seen. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to heal the sick. And he did it early on in the ministry. Probably sooner than we would send out people that had been with us. We'd want to make sure they were, you know, going to not do bad things first. But he had a lot of belief in the disciples. He released them to set the press free, to heal people, to do all the things they'd seen him do. And because as they were out there, they were having success. There was all these healings happening, all these deliverances happening. At one moment, it actually says that they were like, even the demons submit to us. Like they're surprised about this power that they're carrying. And in Luke chapter 9, there's this father who brings his son who's tormented and afflicted by a demon. And he brings him to Jesus. And apparently he'd had brought him to the disciples. And the disciples weren't able to set this guy free. So he brings him to Jesus, says, your disciples weren't able to cast this thing out. If there's anything that you can do, would you have compassion on us? And Jesus responds to him. He says, all things are possible for one who believes. And Jesus, of course, he casts out the demon and the boy is made whole. And later on, the disciples, they were probably a bit puzzled by it. So they pulled Jesus aside and they ask him, how come they couldn't see the breakthrough with this guy? They'd been seeing breakthrough. And Jesus tells them, this one comes out only by prayer and fasting. Now, I preached on that before. We preached on that in January when we did the fast, and I think that it is a significant point to this. I've taught on this. Prayer and fasting is part of the point, but I think what's equally important here was the disciples' response. And the disciples' response was they knew that they had the authority. They'd seen all kinds of healing and deliverance and freedom, but they'd hit a wall with this one. They'd hit a wall But they weren't content to just let it go. So they brought it before Jesus. And they said, how come we couldn't do it? Why? Because they wanted to walk in breakthrough. They wanted to walk in what they knew was available. I am not content to center my beliefs and my theology on what I have not seen happen. I am not content. And let me tell you, there's a lot of things that I know should not have gone one way that went that way. I want to tell you, I'm not content to settle my theology there. I want to see what he said. The Spirit is in me. The Spirit is upon me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He says, church, there's so much more. I want to align my theology. I want to align my prayers. I want us to align our responses and our faith and my life around what he did and what he's called me to do. And I am hungry for more. And what I sense here at our church is that I am in a company of people who are hungry for more too. He paid for more than we are currently seeing. May the Lamb receive the rewards of his suffering. And part of the reward is the healing of bodies. I think about Rebecca. We're going to pray for her in a minute. May the Lamb receive the rewards of his suffering and the healing of Rebecca's body. In Jesus' name. And part of that reward is the church walking in the power that he paid for to be released and demonstrating it to the world. He says, it's better that I go away. Why? So he can come. So he can come. What does Jesus tell him? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. So Jesus prophesies to the disciples about the day of Pentecost that's going to come. You're going to receive power from on high. It will come upon you, and it's the power to tell people about Jesus, but not only that, it's that and much more. It's that and much more. Remember what Paul said, I have fully preached the gospel in word and deed through signs and wonders by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that rested on Jesus is to rest on the life of every believer to demonstrate who he is to the world. We cannot compartmentalize the gospel to only a few categories or a few issues or a few commands or personal purity or holiness. Those are all part of it. As much as he said, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you, he also said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. This is the full gospel. And I believe that this is what this house, Hope Church, is called to be. I know people argue about this stuff all the time. Is healing for today? Is this all these things? Honestly, I just don't have any desire to argue about it. Go argue with somebody else. Like, don't argue with me about that. Go find someone else. There's plenty of people you can argue with about it. I don't want to argue about it. My passion, church, is to see our church full of Jesus, full of the anointing of the Spirit on us, doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, because God is so with us. Because God is so upon us that he would rest upon our church in a way that we would be used to heal the broken, confused, tormented, hurting world that's all around us. That is the heart. I feel like from the very beginning, when Pastor Gary planted Hope Church, he has a pent-up desire to pour out his Spirit, and we haven't seen anything yet. The plan is you, the plan is me, operating in all that he paid for us to demonstrate for the world, to do the works of Jesus through the power of the Spirit. Do you stand with me this morning? I'm going to invite our ministry team to come down, and I just have such a strong sense that the Lord wants to touch people this morning. But before we actually pray for anyone, I just want us to do this. So I'm just keenly aware that there's absolutely nothing that we can do. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And we can't make stuff happen. We just yield and surrender in humility and say, I want to walk in everything that you have for my life. And if that's in your heart right now, would you just lift up your hands and lift up your yes and just begin to just say yes to him? Just begin to just say yes. I think your yes is so powerful this morning. Your yes is so powerful this morning. We're just lifting up our hands and we're just saying yes, 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 yes to the Spirit upon us. Yes to the Spirit in us. Yes to you enabling us to do what we could never, ever do. We say yes. This isn't about how smart you are or how intelligent you are. It's about our simple obedience and our yieldedness to him to step out and take chances with him to release the kingdom of God.